Wow. Thank you, Lord. Well, what a joy and a blessing it is to be here with you this morning. And yes, it has been 52 countries, and I actually turned 52 this year as well. I will be, there you are. Amen. There's a real unity here, you know. So in October, I'm 52. So I went full-time as a 19-year-old. That's my testimony. You know, I was raised in a Christian home. Doesn't make you a Christian, of course. But I gave my life to Christ when I was 4 years old. My mother led me to the Lord. And I have an older brother and younger sister. And Mum led all of us to Jesus. I thank God for praying mums. Actually, a number of years ago, our pastor asked us to write a letter of thanks to the person who led us to Jesus. And it was a great joy to be able to write to my mum and say, "Dear Mum, thank you for all those years ago when I was a little boy that you led me to Jesus. Because of him, because of you leading me to the Lord," I said, "I've now had the joy of leading another 250,000 to Jesus and seeing hundreds of churches planted and lots of miracles around the world. And none of that would have happened unless you would have introduced me to my Savior. I'm so grateful." And so thank God. And can I just say on behalf of Wayne and Justin and myself, just a big, big thank you for your very warm welcome to us over this week. It's been a huge joy to be with you all. And I pray it won't be the last of our times together. We'll certainly be together in glory, but hopefully we'll do some more together in this life too. So, yes, it's been a great joy just to be amongst you. I really do sense that the Holy Spirit, you know, is just going to be bringing fresh waves of his presence and of his power, filling, as it were, the sail of your hearts and of the vision of the church, taking you forward and bringing growth to you, bringing increase. In fact, I want to prophesy to you that it won't be too long in the future you'll be into two services. I sense it in my spirit, and so I submit that to you. We know in part and prophesy in part, so please test it. But nonetheless, I just do sense it in my heart. But the Lord is bringing growth to you. The increase comes from God. We all have our part to play, of course. The Bible says that the body grows by what every joint supplies. So please don't expect your leaders just to do all of the work. All of us need to be praying. All of us need to be reaching out to others. Amen. And going and functioning in the church and offering to help wherever we can. But as the church prays together, serves together, gives, prays, serves, goes, the church grows. Amen. By the increase that is from God. So a great pleasure to be with you this morning. And to give you a little bit of heads up of where we're headed today, I've asked both Justin and Wayne if they will share for about 10 minutes each today. And I've asked them specifically to seek the Lord each for a word from heaven to encourage us today, to encourage the church here. Now, it may be that they deliver a personal word to you as an individual, as a member of the church. But, you know, I know that they've got something on their heart for the church generally as well. And so they may also suddenly give out some words of knowledge. I've given them liberty to pray for you as the Holy Spirit leads them. You know, whatever God is moving, we want to move with him. Amen. And very easily we can slip into a certain pattern of doing our services. And sometimes the Holy Spirit just wants to break in and remind us that it's his church and he'll do things his way. And sometimes he does it a different way to the way we planned. And so I've given them liberty to do that. But I have to be on in 20 minutes. No, it's not quite like that. But no, bye. So anyway, so they're going to go about 10 minutes each. But then I'm going to come back and preach to you. Now, before I do, just to say, we do have a few resources left here, some books and CDs. If you weren't here last night, just to say there, to let you know what they are, there's a book there called Faith Man. That's called Wild Adventures with a Faithful God. There are some awesome stories of faith in there that will really build you up. It's tremendous. A book that I wrote about 18, 24 months ago called The Power Partnership, A Life of Miracles for Every Believer. How we can all, as believers in Christ, enjoy a close personal relationship with the Holy Spirit in life and prayer and ministry, and therefore see his miracles in our lives. There are also CDs there and USBs having all the healing scriptures of the Bible in them, and also the identity one that speaks of who we are in Christ, who our Father is, and who the Holy Spirit is, and how we can know his power in our lives. So that'll be a huge blessing to you. Two particular books I want to recommend to you that I didn't mention last night. This one here is, Ralph has not been here with us. If we do an Impact Week of training for Liverpool next year, which is on my heart to do, but just need to pray that through with leaders here, you'll get to know Ralph there. Ralph is a wonderful man of God. He's a team pastor. Amongst I lead the ministry, but he's our team pastor and helps to run our internship as well. He's a great guy. And he's a master's in theology and in church history. And so he teaches a lot on revival history. It's always very inspiring. But he produced this book called The God Life, Following Jesus and Going Deeper. It's a really, really good book. Full again of really inspiring stories. And actually, let me tell you one of them quickly. I love to tell you about books. I don't like to recommend books I haven't read or that I don't know anything about. But I like to recommend books to you that I know something about and I know will bless you. It's easy to stand up as a preacher and say, get this book. But I don't want to do that. I want to bless you with something that I know will genuinely be a blessing to you because it's been a blessing to me. And one of the stories in here is about a brother I personally know who's also a good friend of Ralph's. He is an Indian apostle and an amazing man of God. Now, let me tell you about him. You know, before he gave his life to Christ, he was a Hindu terrorist, a fundamentalist. And his intention was that he, together with his group, were going to take over the government. And they were going to do so by radical means. And so, actually, still today, when you meet him, he has the marks in his leg where they did the blood covenant together. That if they ever broke the group, he'd be murdered or they'd do something terrible to each other. So that's his background. But the more he got involved in their murderous activities and all the rest that they were doing as terrorists, the more he realized that this was going in a direction he didn't really want to go. And he wanted to break free of it, but he realized that actually if he broke free of the group, the way they would kill him would be more painful than if he killed himself. So for that reason, he went to the Hyderabad Central train station and stood there on the platform as a very fast train was coming by, and he was about to jump off in front of it to kill himself. And as he's about to jump, he suddenly feels a strong hand suddenly grab hold of his arm and pulled him back. He turned around to see this very tall 7-foot man standing there and just said to him, come here with me. And he called him by name and he took him to the Hyderabad Central Park and he sat down with him. He told him his life story as if he knew him intimately. He told him his life story and then told him how the only place he would find forgiveness and salvation was in Jesus Christ and to call on his name for salvation. At that moment, he dropped his head. Tears poured down his cheeks. He looked up and the man had disappeared. And it was an angel. The result of this is he gave his life to Jesus. Now, the incredible thing is despite that, well, say he gave his life to Jesus. He didn't yet give his life to Jesus. He was powerfully impacted. But this is his testimony. It's an amazing story. He came from a devout Hindu family. And actually, when he left home, his mother said to him, I love this statement. His mother said to him, I have raised you in all the best ways of Hinduism that we know and of all of our multiple gods. But now you are leaving home. I need to say to you, if you are ever in real trouble and you pray to all of our gods, but you don't get an answer, he said, I have never said this to you before, but I need to tell you this. If you do not get an answer from them, there is a God whose name has real power. He says, the Christians talk about him. His name is Jesus. Call on him. And so a few months later, after this encounter with the angel, he gets dengue fever, which is very similar to malaria. And he's lying in hospital, and he's so bad, they can't cure him. And he gets into delirium and he's in a desperate state. And in the midst of all this pain and high fever, the words of his mother come back to him. And he cries out to the name of Jesus and is instantly healed by the power of God and gives his life to Christ. today he is an apostle leading over 400 churches in India. Mighty, mighty man of God. His story is in there amongst many others. But you know, it's a very powerful book. It'll be a blessing to you. There's that one. Here's another one. And this is of a lady who I know personally, a friend of mine from our own local church. I'm very blessed to go to Kingsgate Community Church, minister there sometimes and do some training there. And that's in Peterborough, several thousand people in our church down there. It's a real thriving place. And this is the life story of Linda. It's called Cheating Death, Living Life. It's a very dynamic story. Whenever I recommend this book to people, I say, if you know anyone or if you are someone who has gone through desperate things in life and needs hope in your life, I said, you need to get this book. I say, you know, lend me your hope. In brief, this is her story. I'm not going to tell you all of it. You won't buy the book. But let me tell you a bit of it, all right? And this is it. So she grew up in a very abusive home. And as she grew up in that terribly abusive home, the tragedy with many people who experience abuse is that they end up then very often thinking that they are the problem. And when that happens, their own self-worth goes very, very low, and they feel that the only person that would ever love them would be someone else who would abuse them. And so they tend to get drawn to an abuser, whether consciously or self-consciously. Sometimes it's a spiritual thing, and they end up marrying somebody who abuses them. And that's a tragic thing. We have to pray through that and break the cycle of abuse. Otherwise, it tends to continue like that. And so, you know, Jesus wants you to be free. Amen? I'm not yet preaching, but I'm using the book as my excuse. So, but let me tell you that Jesus will set you free. So anyway, bless her heart. She married a guy who was terribly abusive and actually used to abuse her and also abuse her children. Eventually, the only way she could escape, because he was threatening now to kill her, was that one day while he was at work, she left. She left the home. She put the children into the care of her mother, and she fled from that town. And she went right down to the south coast, down to Brighton. And the only, because she had no address or anything, she couldn't get any social benefit. She couldn't get any money to sustain herself. And the only way that she could sustain herself, she ended up being a prostitute. And she doesn't know Jesus. She's out there on the south coast, down in Brighton, as a prostitute. And in the midst of all her pain and abusive lifestyle, in the midst of all of that, to kind of cope with the pain, she starts taking drugs. She ends up being a drug addict, a heroin addict. She's in horrendous pain. Her life is spiraling totally out of control and totally hopeless. But thank God for believers who don't keep their witness just within the four walls of a church. Because there were members of a church down there who every week would go down and they would walk on the seafront of Brighton, and they would witness to people and share Jesus with people. And they found Linda, and they started to love her and pray for her and share Jesus with her and tell her that no matter what she had done, that Jesus was not ashamed of her, but he would forgive her and restore her life. And so they prayed with her. She gave her life to the Lord. They helped her to escape from the pimp and the whole prostitution system. And then they sent her up to our area, to Peterborough. And when she came up to Peterborough, she joined the church. And not only was she saved, she got totally delivered from all of the drugs. She got baptized in water. Just when everything seemed to be going well, then she was diagnosed with terminal cancer and given 3 months to live. But she was prayed for in the name of Jesus and got totally healed with full medical evidence from Addenbrooke's Hospital in Cambridge. And today, she spends her life serving in the women's prisons near Peterborough, sharing the gospel, seeing prostitutes and drug addicts set free and saved and restored to life through Jesus Christ. She's a wonderful woman. And sometimes she comes with us on some missions. Occasionally we advertise it. Come and hear a real life prostitute story. And those meetings are always packed. And they all come to hear what she has to say and her story. But what they don't expect is for her to tell them of how Jesus turned her life around and how what he's done for her, he'll do for them. And many people get saved. So look, it's a very powerful story. And it really is a story of how Jesus sets the most bound captive free. It's a gutsy story. I wrote a foreword for it. But let me tell you, I read it in a night. And so please, if you're not prepared for it to be a little bit gutsy, it's probably not best that you don't buy it. It's not rude at all, but it is gutsy. It's very straight down the line of the difference that Jesus makes in your life. So bless you. It reads like a thriller. So bless you. Anyway, have a look, and it'll bless your socks off if you wear socks. So there we go. Can I invite my dear friends to come and to share? I don't know who's going to go first. Josh, you want to go first? Should we give him a warm welcome?
Wonderful. Thank you for your warm greeting. It's great to be here. And it's been just great as well to see how so many children have been involved in the meeting with the worship and on the PA. And that's just absolutely fantastic. And the word that I had this morning was a word of encouragement. And I just want to concur with the word that John has about growth, because I believe that the Lord is going to be adding, through new birth, many new people to this congregation, to this church. And I believe that actually the Lord is going to use children as part of his plan to do that. I want to just speak to you just about the whole area of words of knowledge and gifts of the Holy Spirit. You'll be familiar with the passages in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. But I just want to point out to you there that the Holy Spirit, that all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are in the Holy Spirit. All of the gifts are in the Holy Spirit. And if you are a born-again believer, and if you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, then that means, logically, that all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are present within you because he's in you. And at his will, if we, by faith, step out into those gifts, they are available. At his prompting, if we're obedient to his prompting and step out, then those gifts will manifest in and through our lives. But there's a real key to this, and it's found in verse 1 of chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. And of course, you will know that it says this: pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. I'm going to stop there. Desire spiritual gifts. I want to stir you up, church, this morning, to desire spiritual gifts. I won't go into the whole thing to do as to why Paul talks about especially prophecy. That's for another time. But I want to speak specifically about the gift of the word of knowledge. That's one of those nine gifts listed in chapter 12, just a couple of chapters before. Okay? And the word of knowledge is especially effective in evangelism and reaching the unsaved. Especially effective, because it's well known that many people need something like between 6 and 11 exposures to the message of the gospel before they give their lives to Jesus and respond with faith. But it's also well known that if somebody has an encounter with God through his Spirit, by his Spirit, through something like a word of knowledge or a prophecy or through healing, that they jump from wherever they are, however far they might be away from God, right up to the point of being open to receive from him. I want to encourage you that the gift of the word of knowledge is in you. And if you desire to be used by God in words of knowledge to reach others, then he will use you. Who here desires that? As I'm sharing that, who's got a quickening in their heart and is thinking, yes, I want to be used by God in words of knowledge to reach out and to share those with unsafe people? Let me see your hand if that's you. Whoa, come on. Thank you, Jesus. That's wonderful. So, here's a very simple way of starting to move in the gift of knowledge, particularly with regard to healing. What I'd encourage you to do is to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to show you a particular part of the body that is in need of healing. Now look, before I came this morning, that's what I did. I prayed and I imagined a body. I imagined a skeleton. I imagined that skeleton with organs inside it. And I said, Lord, show me a part of the body here, someone that has a part of their body that needs healing this morning. And as I looked down, and you can all do this, everyone, if you shut your eyes and you imagined a body, I'm sure you could all do that. And you could all scan from the top down to the bottom. As I did that, I got to the area of the chest. And then the Lord directed me towards the heart. So I saw a skeleton, I saw the ribs, and then all I saw was a heart. And then I asked the Lord to show me some detail about the heart. And it's almost like it zoomed in, went closer in, and I saw that an area of the heart that looked as if it was damaged. It looked a bit darker. And then I noticed that it was as if the valves were a bit blocked and there was constriction. And then I had the word angina. Angina. So what I believe is there's at least one person here. You've got a problem with your heart. You will be feeling unwell with it, maybe shortness of breath. And there's a blockage there and you are possibly suffering from pains because of this restriction in your arteries around your heart. Who is that individual? Who is that that's here this morning? Who is that that's here? Who gets chest pains? Who's got a problem with their heart this morning? Hi, good to see you. I know that you're here. I'll bless you. Bless you. That's right. Wonderful. Madam, would you allow me to pray for you this morning? Would that be okay? Great. Could you want to come down the front here? That's great. Should we give her a round of applause as she comes forward? You've got to be brave sometimes to step out and to respond. That's great. Lovely to meet you. What's your name?
Ola.
Ola.
Yeah.
Great. Lovely to meet you, Ola. That's great. So listen, how long have you been suffering with this pain in your heart?
I don't think it's my heart. I just feel pain on my chest.
You've got pain on your chest. Okay. Okay. Well, I'm going to pray.
You
don't know. You don't know. It's not being diagnosed or anything like that. That's fine. Okay, so I'm just going to pray for you now. Are you in pain at the moment?
No.
Okay, but you do get pain from time to time. Okay. Well, let me just pray for you now. Father, I thank you for Ola. I pray now, Father, you would just come and manifest your power to heal this morning upon Ola. In the name of Jesus, I speak to your chest. I speak to the pain that you sometimes suffer from here. I speak to it, and I speak to your heart particularly. And in the name of Jesus, I say, be healed. Be healed. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Be healed. I command all that pain to stop and to never return.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 And amen.
Amen.
Bless you, Allah. Bless you. Bless you. Wonderful. You. Great. Well, you'll be. Sometimes, if someone's in pain or if there's something you can see or ask for it, to see the manifestation straight away. But obviously, in this situation, because Allah wasn't actually suffering with any pain currently, that's something that she will have to testify to over the coming days and weeks. But bless you, I'm believing that the Lord has touched your heart. I do just want to ask again, though, is there somebody else who also has a problem with your heart? Just going to wait for a moment. Sometimes it takes a little bit of courage to respond in this kind of way to words, but I just want to give opportunity to do that. Constriction in the heart, sometimes pain there. Okay. Well, as if are you coming to respond to that? Oh, bless you. Okay. Well, listen, I'll pray for you in a minute. I'll pray for you at the end, because that's chest, not heart. Could just take a seat for a moment. I will pray with you at the end of the meeting. I'm after a specific individual. I believe that there's somebody here, and you've got to, in fact, I believe it's a man. That might really help here. There's a man here. You've got a problem with your heart. Who is that? Yeah, okay. That's fine, okay. Great, well, if you're here, but you would prefer to respond at the end, then that's fine, feel free to do that, okay? So listen, I want to encourage you to step out in words of knowledge like this and to reach out to others. And even, doesn't matter, you know, there isn't such a thing as a junior Holy Spirit. If you're a child here, you can move in these gifts just as much as adults can. Just ask the Lord and he'll show you. Bless you. Thank you. I'm going to hand over to Wayne now to bring a word of encouragement as well. Bless you.
Good morning, everybody. Before I came over to Liverpool, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why am I going to meet with the folks in Liverpool? And I believe the Lord gave me a specific answer. He said, in Liverpool, he said, the spiritual temperature is like a bonfire. He said, and you're coming to pour petrol upon it. I believe that revival is coming to our land. I believe that revival is in this room for our land today. And I believe that revival is sitting in the seats of this room today. The Lord gave me a vision. He gave me a vision over the northwest of England. And it was to fires. Fires that were springing up. Fires for a desire of the passion of the gospel. That would go and that would spread and that would continue just to set fires of the gospel in different places as we would go. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is John chapter 1 verse 5. It says, there is a light that shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot overcome it. I want to tell you that the truth is the truth. The truth is always the truth. Yeah, this is the truth. We can look at the situations outside our churches. We can look at the situations around where we are. But the truth of the matter is, the light shines in the darkness. And we will not be overcome. Because he that is in us is greater than him that is in the world. I want to tell you the truth that darkness isn't... light isn't the absence of darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. And we are the children of light. We are the children of light. I believe that God would have us this morning to turn around and say, I believe that he's given me a couple of things for your house in particular, that this will be a house of freedom. That it will be a house of freedom, that people will come who's got issues in their lives that are controlling issues. There are people here this morning who have got issues in your life that are being controlled, that have got addiction, substance addiction, that have got problems where you're being tempted and drawn back into things that you've been brought out of. I want to declare this morning in the name of Jesus, liberty over you. Liberty over you in the name of Jesus. There is a person on this side of the room in the first quarter of this section here. You have got issues that have been cropping back up that you're not being free from. This morning I want to declare liberty in the name of Jesus. Liberty in the name of Jesus. I believe that God would say that this is going to be a house of nations, not a house of the nation. I would believe that God will tell you to widen your scope. Look outside of the African community. Look into the whole area where you are. That God is going to open the door. Do not hold back. I believe there is a new wind that is blowing. And that if we would stand, and that if we would be counted, that we would be willing, we will see acts in our time. We will see revival in our time. We will see revival in this great city. It is the will of the Lord to revive Liverpool. I'm excited about that. I'll say it again because this needs to be brought out by faith. It is the will of the Lord to revive Liverpool. Amen. Amen. And I'm just going to ask, can we just stand up? Because I just want to pray over us now. Because I believe that God is going to speak to some individuals in here. He's already speaking to me about one or two of us. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to move this morning. We invite you to come amongst us, Lord. Burn in our hearts. Lord, I thank you. You know that, Lord, we're in the darkness, in the cold, Lord, where there is fire, Lord. People are attracted to this. Lord, I pray that the fire of revival will burn in this house today. That, Lord, you would start to pluck, Lord, people from the fire, Lord, and bring them in. That, Lord, I pray that the fire of the desire of your gospel, Lord, would burn today. There is a young man over here that's doing the PA. Andrew, can I just borrow you 1 second, sir? I don't know whose son this is. Whose son is this? It's your son. Mama, can I speak into his life? Would you come? Jesus. I've asked you to come because you're a steward of this boy. Andrew, I believe that God would say to you, in you, he's got nations. He's got nations in your heart. You're going to speak words of life to nations, not just this nation, to many nations, not just African nations, American nations. I believe that as you will go, you will prophesy in the name of Jesus Christ, that you will see the words that come out of your mouth come to pass, that as you see these words come to pass, that your faith will grow, that you will take greater steps. And as you take the greater steps, your boldness and confidence in him who is sending you will grow. And as your boldness and confidence will grow, that you will see greater exploits, that you will see miracles in your stead as you go in the name of Jesus, that you will see the dead raised as you go, that the Lord will move mightily his plan and purpose for your life. Lord, I just pray for this young man right now. Lord, I just pray that as he would submit, as he would grow, Lord, he will grow in peace, he will grow in confidence. That, Lord, he will know the presence of the Holy Spirit within him every day of his life. Amen. Andrew, I just prophesy over you. I prophesy over you that you will know a greater portion. Receive him. Receive him. Receive him. And I know that you don't understand it at the moment. But as you will submit yourself to him, Andrew, as you will chase after him in your bedroom and you'll say, God, I want to know you. I want to know more of you. He will reveal himself to you in ways that you cannot imagine at the moment. But you will have a close walk. Follow in his stead. You will see great things. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Please take your seats. Thank you, Jesus. Can I give this to you guys? Okay. Thank you, Lord. God is so good. Amen. Can I, before I share this word with you, can I just say, can I make a plea with you in line with the prophetic word that has come today about nations? I owe quite a debt to Africa. My life was radically changed through ministries that came from Africa. So I am very grateful to the Lord for that. I have had many encounters with the Lord, powerful encounters with the Lord in Africa, that have been life-changing for me, as well as, by the grace of God, life-changing for others in Africa. But I also owe a great debt to Africa because my wife became a Christian there. My wife went to Kenya as a Methodist medical missionary, but was not born again. And amazing, nothing against the Methodist Church, but she said that she never found Jesus there. Tragic when you consider its roots. But anyway, she went there, and she said it was the love of the African people the love of African believers who just loved her unconditionally. And then the gospel being shared with her, she gave her life to Christ. And she has served the Lord ever since. And was a full-time missionary before we got married, and now is a missionary to our three boys, you know. And from time to time, we still travel and minister together. But and she leads, actually, the mercy side of our ministry, where we take care of about 450 orphans and minister to widows as well in Africa, helping kids who are orphaned off the street, some who've been thrown into toilets or onto dumps, and saving them, rescuing them, giving them education, training them in Jesus, as well as giving them an education and until they're raised. And some of those kids now are on their way to university when they were actually found on dumps and things like that. And so we try to sow back into Africa as God has blessed us much that way as well. But I want to just say something to you as an Englishman. Can I just say this to us for a moment? There are many Africans who've come to England over recent years, and we so thank God for you. I'm so grateful. I'm so personally grateful. So grateful for your prayer lives. So grateful for your impartation into our nation. And I believe you are here by the divine will of God, that it was not just a personal decision. The Bible says in the book of Acts that God has ordained the very times of our lives and the borders of our dwellings, which means therefore that actually that even in this current stage of your life, you are here by divine plan. Now, it's easy to think, well, I'm here because I had to flee a situation in Africa, or I'm here because it was a better educational opportunity, or it was here as a better way to further myself, or for the sake of family, or whatever it was. But let me tell you that behind the scenes, God was at work bringing you here. Now, in God bringing you here, I have a plea. I have a plea to say to you. If this is ever to become a church of nations, something has got to change within your inner self concept. And it's this. Let me tell you, I hope you're going to get this. If you're a medical doctor, you'll get it immediately. I am a black man. And you are a white man. I'm going to say that again. What I'm saying to you is a medical fact. I am a black man, and you are a white man. And I am a white man, and you are a black man, or black woman, as whatever it is. This is the point. There is, medically speaking, no such thing as a different color. We all have more or less of the same skin pigment. That's all it is. Yes, we have different cultures, but and thank God for them. But those cultures have to die at the cross wherever they are different to Christ-likeness. Amen. So actually, there are things that about African culture, Nigerian culture, Ghanaian culture, whatever you're from, I love them all. There are different things about that. I love African food as well as English food. I could happily live on either. But you know, I love African culture. But there's some things about African culture that are very demonic and need to be let go of. There's things that are very superstitious and fearful that bind you to your ancestors, that produce fear of witchcraft instead of faith over it and victory over it. The stuff like that has to be broken. But at the same time, there's respect and there's honor and things like that that are really important, that are powerful. There's faith. There's some great things God has done in the African church that is amazing and that our church in England needs. Amen. But there's things in the African church that need help from the English church. There is a coming together. And actually, before the throne, we are one body. We're one body in Christ. But look, I find this sometimes. I have to say to fellow Englishmen, because, you know, our society has gone crazy, you know, about not only about racism, but things like you can't call a black man a black man. I always say to them, listen, don't call a black man a colored man. A black man likes to be called black because he is black. And then a white man is called white because he's white. I said, but, you know, the reality is that, you know, there's no sense of inferiority for a black man or a black woman being a black man or black woman. Some black men and black women think they're superior to white men and white women. And some white people think they're superior. The truth about it is none of us is superior to anyone. We are all servants of one another in the kingdom of God and should love one another equally. Amen? But let me say this for a moment. Tragically, many years ago, my nation made slaves of Africans. Forgive us for that, please. That was godless. But can I say this? That it's really important that coming into England, that you don't just reach out to your own.
Yes, sir.
But that you reach out to white people.
Yes.
White people will listen to you.
Yes.
They need you.
Yes.
They need you. Listen, that the police force, many in our police force, think that there is a huge problem with black young men into knife crime and gangs because of the breakdown of the family. What they're really looking for is fathering. What they're looking for is a family to belong to. And actually, they need, that's a big issue there. But at the same point as that, guys, look, if somebody doesn't break that pattern, break out of the culture. Reach out to white people. Reach out to Asian people. And just bring Jesus to people wherever you are. If you don't break out of that, you'll never be a church of nations. But God wants, I mean, there are some massive Nigerian churches in London. You see a speckle of one or two white people in there. And I think, and this is supposed to be changing London. I say, we've been sent back to England as missionaries. I say, really? To reach who? Who are you going to reach? I thank God you're reaching your fellow Nigerians. But are you going to reach the white Englishman? Are you going to reach the Asian? Let me tell you, Jesus in you can reach them. Please. Get your identity, your roots more from Jesus than your culture. I am an Englishman. I am supposed to be stiff upper lipped and unemotional. But I can tell you, when the Holy Spirit got hold of me, I changed. My family changed. My dad was a chartered accountant for Price Waterhouse in London. Three-piece suit and a big top hat in the days when they used to do that. Very stiff and unemotional. British through and through. But when he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, can you imagine when my mother, an Irish woman, more bubbly and warm and as the Irish are, when she got baptized in the Holy Spirit, he couldn't understand her because she would come back from house meetings where the Holy Spirit was moving and she'd be in tears and in joy and, oh, Jesus is so wonderful. And he would stand there and say, oh, I don't know why you go to those meetings anyway. You only come home crying. But then he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and my conservative dad, who I have to admit, sadly, up to the age of 9, when he got baptized in the Spirit, I was afraid of him. But at the age of 9, he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he changed. He, conservative as conservative English businessman, stood on a chair in the middle of the church and shouted and sang in tongues with tears and joy for 2.5 hours. Completely transformed. A man with quite a temper on him. A man very strict, and became a soft-hearted, gentle giant. Changed by the grace of God. If I, as a white man, now changed by the grace of God, can go to Africa, can go to Asia, can go to many nations and reach them. If I can do that, you as a black African can reach the people of my nation. You can do it. The grace of God is on you. I honor you. I honor you. People of God, I honor you. Men and women of God, I honor you. In Christ Jesus, there is neither slave nor free from that side of things. When you look at being bound, it's actually what it's talking about in slavery. There is neither male nor female, neither Nigerian, nor English, nor Ghanaian, nor... We're all one in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So I plead you, please live beyond your culture. Live in Christ and be bold to pray. Amen?
Amen.
Glory. Okay. Well, my time is flying, but here you are. I'm going to do an hour's message in 10 minutes. Are you ready? Yes. You need to kind of buckle up and get ready, because here it's coming. All right. I want to talk to you about anointed for purpose. You are a purposeful, not a purposeless people. Amen?
Amen.
And I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that by your Holy Spirit, that you would quicken this word to us, that today you will build our faith, that today in Jesus' name you would remove any sense of purposelessness, any sense of hopelessness in any heart here today, and that each person here today would recognize they are known and called and chosen by God with divine purpose and grace to fulfill that purpose. Father, let them rise up in you and become everything you've called them to be. We thank you that the work you've begun in us, you'll bring to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. And I pray in Jesus' name, if there is anyone here today who does not yet know you as Lord and Savior, Father, that they will not leave this place without the joy of forgiveness and the certainty of eternal life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm reading to you today from 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19. And I'm going to try and give you just simply 5 points to build your faith. And as I read this to you, I want to remind you that God has a good plan for your life. That deserves a better amen than that. God has a good plan for your life. You don't need to turn there, but Jeremiah 29:11, one of the most famous verses of the Bible, says, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to give you a hope and a future, to do you good and not evil." Amen.
Amen.
Whenever the Bible uses the word hope, it doesn't use it in the way we use it in modern English. In the way we use the word hope in modern English, it communicates a degree of uncertainty. Well, I hope it's going to turn out all right. That's the way we use it. But the way the Bible uses the word hope is very different to that. The Bible uses the word hope in the sense of future tense certainty. So the Bible talks about the second coming of Jesus Christ as being the hope of the church. Well, we don't hope he's going to come back, but I don't know, you know, you never know. But I hope he comes back. We're really in a lot of trouble. We need him to come. No. We know for certain Christ is coming again. Amen?
Amen.
So when we talk about hope, we're talking about certainties. And so God says, the plans I have for you are to give you a certain future. Amen?
Amen.
Your future is not on shaky ground. Your future is on solid ground. You are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We are in a world that is full of uncertainty, concerned about the coronavirus, concerned about war, concerned about famine, concerned about sicknesses, diseases, concerned about economic crashes, concerned about Islam, concerned about so many different things. But let me tell you today, we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Jesus is the rock of ages. He is unshakable, and our feet are on solid ground. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. So it says this, Peter underlines this and says, you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Amen. So as well as being redeemed from sin, you and I have been redeemed from a purposeless life, an aimless life. Years ago, when I was being trained in the ministry, I was serving a wonderful evangelist by the name of Don Double. He's now in his mid-80s, but when I was with him, he was in his 50s, and the height of his ministry, one of the leaders of the Charismatic Renewal in the UK, and we had a big 2,000-seater tent we took all over the UK, led thousands and thousands of people to Jesus with it, saw lots of miracles. He's a wonderful man of God, but I can remember him coming out of a meeting once with the head of the Elim denomination, and they had both been attending the meeting, not preaching there, but attending the meeting. And it was a meeting in which nothing much happened. And as they walked out, the head of Elim turned to Don and said to him, "What did you think of the meeting, Don?" And Don said this, "Well, let's put it this way. They aimed at nothing and they hit it." And sometimes our lives can be like that. Sometimes ministries are like that. Sometimes churches are like that. We aim at nothing and then are surprised when nothing happens. But brothers and sisters, the word faith in the Greek language, the word faith is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. And literally, one Greek theologian says this. He says, if you're going to use the word for faith as it is defined in Greek, he says, the best way to describe it in English is to aggressively lay hold of a predetermined focus. He says that's the attitude that's involved in it. He said if you're just going to use the word trust, something that seems to be a little bit more passive, you're going to have to use a different word. But if you're going to use the word faith as the original language of the Bible uses it, there has to be a clear vision to it. There has to be a clear focus for faith to rise up, to expect something and move towards something in faith, trusting God to fulfill something in God. So I want to say to you, I believe that the Holy Spirit would encourage you today to lay out before Him prayerfully fresh vision of faith for your life. Fresh vision of faith for your business, for your marriage, for your family. Fresh vision of faith for your church, for your ministry, for your community, for your nation and the nations that God wants you to be involved with for the sake of the kingdom of God. Amen. We are to be a purposeful people. Even as an individual believer, I want to ask you this. How many people are you praying for to personally lead to Christ this year? And who are their names? Who are they? Have you written them down? Do you pray for them regularly? I want to challenge every member here to write down at least 5 names in a bit of paper and stick it in your Bible so every day when you read your Bible, those names face you. And you bring them before God and you pray and you ask the Lord for wisdom how to reach them. And pray for them when you come together in your life groups, in your home groups. Pray together for those names. Strategize how you can reach them. Invite them to a meal. Have some good time together. Share testimony around the mealtime. Have a specific moment where you share in between courses how Jesus has changed your life. And at the end, a short presentation of the gospel and pray a prayer of salvation for people to join in. Not hard to do. Sometimes it's easier to invite people to a meal than it is to invite them to church. And Jesus did a lot of his discipling around meals. We have to think strategically. It's no good getting upset with thinking, well, why don't they come to our church? Forget about that for a moment. Church is wider than a Sunday morning. You are the church. If they don't come to Sunday morning, find something they will come to. And meet them on their grounds. Jesus, there always has to be a go before there is a come. Go into their world. Jesus said, go into all the world. Amen? As somebody said, you know, we are the salt of the earth. But salt left in the salt shaker doesn't change anything. It needs sprinkling. It needs distribution. Amen. So you've got to go and connect with them, involve. Amen? So guys, that we've been saved for divine purpose. Look at this. I'm going to give you 5 points very quickly here. Wow, that'll be a miracle, but here we go. Number one, we have been saved for divine purpose. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10 says this. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen? Listen to this. Brothers and sisters, your good works can never save you. They will never make you acceptable to God. I think that this teaching, which is right at the heart of the New Testament, is one of the hardest things for the human heart to really understand and conceive. Because many of us get saved by grace and then start relating to God through our works. And the problem is, the moment we relate to God through our works, we come back under the law again that empowers sin again. Because the law was not given to make us righteous before God. The law was given to expose sin. So that's why, although the law is good and righteous and holy, it has no power to change us. So the law stirs up flesh, whereas grace empowers us to walk in the Spirit. So it's a relationship. If you ever take it away from relationship, you start getting into trouble. So I just want to remind us of this. You cannot be saved by good works, but we were saved by faith in the good work of Jesus on the cross. So we're not saved by good works, but we're saved for good works. We are God's workmanship in Christ Jesus. That word in Greek, workmanship, is poema. We are his poem. We are his masterpiece of art. Isn't that beautiful? Whatever you think of yourself before you knew Jesus, let me tell you this. God has gone to great lengths to make you his own. He describes you as his poem, his love letter to the world. He describes you as a living letter. And you know, can I say this to us this morning? You are the only Bible that some people will ever read. Make sure they see the real Jesus through you. Let me illustrate this very simply. I think I'm going to leave my message because if I carry on doing it, I'm never going to finish it. So what I am going to do, I'm going to just make these points to you. We reveal Jesus to the world through our words. We reveal Jesus to the world through our works, the way that we live. And we reveal Jesus to the world through the wonders he does through our life as we pray for people and they experience his grace and power transform their lives. And that gives us a 3-point evangelistic strategy for our lives. We need to serve people. We need to pray for them. Serve them by praying for them. Serve them by loving them practically, eating with them, finding out what their real needs are and finding ways to meet them. In our own church in Kingsgate, we, I don't know how many, probably baptize somewhere between 150 to 300 new believers into the church each year. And there's many more who come through and get saved. But the things we use, what we call the BLESS strategy. B, begin in prayer. L, listen. Listen. Listen to them. When you listen to people, you dignify them. You give them dignity. Listen to them. Find out where their heart really is. Give them time to talk and then speak into their real needs of their heart and their life. E, eat with them. Eat with them. Jesus ate with people. That's some of the barriers come down when you eat with people. Eat with them. S, serve them. Find out what their needs are and serve them. Seek to meet them. And then the last S, share your story, your testimony, what your life was like before you gave your life to Jesus, how you came to Jesus, the difference he's made in your life, and then share with them what God has done for me, he can do for you too. And last of all, share his story, the gospel, Share the gospel with people. People need to hear the gospel in order to be saved. Amen?
Amen.
But let me tell you this about reaching people also by our good works. Let me illustrate this to you. People are watching your life, you know. Amen? Look, there's no good you having a Jesus bumper sticker on your car or in the window of your house. But when your neighbors are going to bed at night, they hear you screaming at one another. Shouting at the kids. But you got a lovely Love Assembly sticker. And you're sticking things through their door to invite them to the Easter service. We want to tell you all about God's love. And they say, uh-huh. The way I heard you screaming at your kids last night. God's love. So, know what I mean? That's true. I don't know if you've ever studied communication. But let me tell you, your words are only about 26% of your communication. Your attitude, the tone in which you speak, the look on your face communicates so much. Amen. Wow. So when we talk to people about street evangelism, I always say, make sure you pray for the people you're going to share Jesus with before you go out and receive God's love into your heart for them before you share. In case you go out there worried and anxious and you go out there and you've got a leaflet and you want to give it to people and you kind of say, take one of these. and they look at you and think, whatever you're afflicted with, don't give it to me. I've got enough problems of my own. I don't need yours as well, you know. But minister to people with love. And let people see your example. This really struck home to me once where I was part of a leadership of a local church, and I was busy doing some pastoral stuff, and I was running from one meeting to another, and I didn't have any time to eat, and so I had to get some lunch, and so I stopped by into the what I used to call the Kingdom Faith Center, KFC, and I stopped by there to have some chicken, and I sat down, I got my food, and then I sat down on the table, and I noticed there was a black guy, a black businessman, and he was sitting at the end of my table, but actually the previous person who had been there hadn't cleared up their rubbish after them, so there was a lot of mess that was on the table. So I just put my stuff down, I cleaned up the table, I put it in the bin, and then I sat down to eat. As I sit down to eat, I look down the table, I see the guy, and he just looks up at me and I see his eyes. And I could discern Jesus in him, in his eyes. So I looked at him and I said, "Sir, you know the Lord." And he said to me, "Yes, how do you know that?" I said, "I can see him in your eyes." And then he looked at me and said, "And I know you know the Lord too." And I said, "And how do you know that?" Now, I was hoping he was going to say, I saw him in your eyes. But he didn't say that. He said, "I noticed that you cleaned up someone else's rubbish that was not your own." I thought, Well, for me, I was just raised that way. I don't consider that anything big to do. But people are watching. Can I say to the young fellas today, particularly if you've never had a dad to tell you, the way you treat women in our world today speaks volumes, even about your walk with Christ. It does. Amen. My dad raised me to open the door for a lady, to give her my chair, etc., etc. Amen. I never saw a week go by my dad wasn't buying flowers for his mum, for his wife. Just for my mum, just constantly showering her with love and kindness. So I grew up thinking that was normal. He never, ever, ever talked down to his wife. Never once. Never once. And if one of us as boys talked in a way that upset her, we had my dad to deal with. And he would remind me, as one time he did, pushing me, 6'2", and pushing me up against the wall, and said, "I understand you upset your mother today by something you said." I said, well, you know, I just said, "Don't even say it." He said, "She may be your mum, but she's my wife. And if you upset her, you upset me. And if you upset me, I'll come down on you like a ton of bricks. Do you understand? Yes, yes, I do understand. I do. I just don't. But you see, fathers, you have to win that respect early on with your kids. It's a lot easier to train them when they're that size than when they're that size. But this is the thing. For young men, you will stand out amongst your friends when actually they see the way that you speak about and the way you treat a woman. If you treat her with respect, you treat her with love, you treat her with honor. Here's another one. The way you talk about the police, the way you talk about teachers, the way you talk about pastors, the way you talk about the government, the way you talk about authority figures that you pray for instead of pull down with your tongue. All of that creates an environment of respect and honor, a bridge over which the gospel can be received. The gospel is always the word of God. It is always the gospel. It is irreproachable. It is the peerless truth of salvation. But some people can't hear it from our lips because of the way we talk and the way we live. Do you hear what I'm saying? We were saved for good works. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And God has a great plan for your life. And those good works are when you pray for people. Those good works are when you serve people. Those good works are when you share Christ with people. Amen? And let me close today by saying this. There's so much more I'd love to share with you, but time doesn't allow. But let me say this. Jesus stood up. Jesus stood up in the synagogue in Luke chapter 4 and proclaimed this on the Sabbath day. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has anointed me to proclaim recovery of sight to the blind, to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the year of the favor of the Lord." Then he sat down, and in verse 21 he says, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Can I say something to you about that expression, fulfilled? It comes up in other passages in the New Testament. You won't get this unless you understand a little bit of the Greek. But let me say this to you. It means this. It's using a tense in Greek that's called the aorist tense. And it's a tense that means something that is done, can never be undone, and then has ongoing ramifications that will never cease. So when Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished," in Greek, tetelestai. When he said that, he said, "The work that I came to do to bring salvation to the world, forgiveness of sin, and the gift of eternal life, it is complete, it is done, it can never be reversed, and it always shall be. By grace we have been saved, done, finished, evermore shall be." Guys, when you get hold of that, it's life-changing. Jesus said, "It is fulfilled." He wasn't just declaring, "The Spirit of the Lord is now on me at this moment, at this time. The Spirit of God is on me to preach the gospel to the poor, to open blind eyes, to set captives free and heal broken hearts, and to declare favor. But actually, once I go back to heaven, that's all going to close down. Or actually, when I'm finished with being at the synagogue today, that's finished." No. He used the aorist tense. And what he's doing is he is announcing a new season for the world. He is declaring a new day and a new time that has come. He's declaring the kingdom of God is present with power. And from this moment forward, he said, "My messianic kingdom is here. It is here. The power of the Spirit is here to bring sight to blind people, to heal broken hearts, to set captives free, to release favor to the oppressed, to lift up the brokenhearted and to make them whole, to bring the good news of salvation to those who are lost. It's now and it evermore shall be until I return again to claim my bride and bring her home to myself." Amen. Brothers and sisters, the same Spirit that was on Jesus is on us as His church today. Amen. That we can do those same things in Christ once we receive the same Holy Spirit on us. He is the head and we are the body. So I want to declare to you, I want to declare over Love Assembly, the Spirit of the Lord is on you. Amen. To preach good news to the poor. The Spirit of the Lord is on you to heal broken hearts. And the Holy Spirit is on you to set captives free. And to heal the sick. To give people favor. And I just want to say in closing one last thing before I pray. And I think this is going to be a key for some of you. Because some of us think we have to communicate so well and pray so well for God to move and for God to use us. Can I say, the big stuff is done by God. The smaller stuff is done by us. However well we think we do it or don't do it. Every time we obey, just remember the statement, God does amazing works of power through small works of obedience. Behind that open door, when you obey Jesus, you open the door for His kingdom to come in power. And if I illustrate it this way, in a church in Wolverhampton, it's quite a large church, and they had invited me to minister, and particularly to minister on the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes when we're invited to minister, particularly along those lines, there can be a certain perceived pressure to come up with the goods. Okay. And I can remember being on the top of this platform. I'm standing there at this platform about this high. There's lots of people. And there's a woman on the front row. And I'm in the middle of preaching about the prophetic. And the Holy Spirit suddenly says to me inside, go and tell that woman on the front row that I love her. It's so simple, and the Bible so obviously says it, that I resisted doing what Jesus told me to do. I wanted a few names and places, a few details, to make it look a bit more dramatic. I wanted to say, sister, you come from St. John Street, number 43. And 2 days ago you said this, and your name is, and the Spirit of the Lord says to you. I wanted to do something that looked a bit more dramatic. After all, it was a prophetic seminar. However, and sometimes the Holy Spirit has used me that way. But the thing is that on this occasion, He wasn't. And He was saying, just tell her I love her. So I ignored it. I went on, I preached again, I carried on. I said, Lord, really, come on, she should know that. You know, I carried on. And then it came in, tell her I love her. Stronger. I said, Lord, I just, you know, tell her I love. Okay, Lord, all right, I get the. So I came down the steps and I walked up to her. And really, I just wanted to get it over and done with and get back to preaching. So I walked up to her and I just said to her, madam, I just want to say to you that Jesus loves you. She burst into tears, and she's just totally undone. And the Holy Spirit comes all over her. So I get some of the sisters to give her a hug and pray for her. Well, praise the Lord. I go back and I preach. Listen to this. At the end of the service, she comes up to me. She's all teary. Says, John, I just want to say thank you so much. Thank you so much for ministering to me today. She said, I said, well, praise the Lord. I'm so glad you were blessed. And she says to me, I just want to ask you, how did you know? I said, well, you know, it's in the book, you know. I mean, John 3:16, you know, God so loved the world, you know, so He loves you. She said, no, not that. She said, how did you know that when I was 5 years old that my parents had a divorce and so I grew up with this great hole on the inside longing for love? How did you know that? And she goes on, and how did you know, therefore, that as I grew up, I was just longing for love and the first man who said he loved me, I was up to no good with him, and then I went through broken relationship after broken relationship looking for love. love. How did you know that? How did you know that I was only recently came out of an alcoholic, thing, trying to be set free from my addiction because of all of the pain in my heart? How did you know all of that? I said, I really didn't say that. She said, oh, but you did, you did. I said, look, madam, I'm a preacher. I'm not allowed to lie. I can't. And she said to me, listen, she said, are you calling me a liar? I said, no, madam, I'm not. No, I'm not. I said, look, whatever happened, I just thank God and praise the Lord. I'm glad you're blessed. Go in your way and rejoice in him. And anyway, but as I left that day, I thought to myself, sometimes we miss the supernatural because we're looking for the spectacular. And actually what Jesus is looking for is our obedience. And if we will just do what he says, either when I obeyed him, the Holy Spirit came on her and her pain was so deep, it all came up on the inside by the influence of the Spirit. It was almost as loud on the inside as if she heard it. Or somewhere between my mouth and her ears, God filled in the details. Now, he is totally able to do either. But my point is, don't miss what God wants to do through you because it doesn't seem spectacular. Just say yes, Lord. Amen. Just say yes. And as I bring things to a close today, you may have come here today and don't yet know Jesus as your personal Savior. He knows you, but maybe you don't yet know him. And eternal life is a relationship with God. Jesus said this, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Jesus made it possible for us to know God personally. Our sin separated us from God. But Christ died in our place, the perfect, blameless Son of God, paying the penalty on the cross for the sins we've all committed. He died. That's the price of sin. He died for you. He died for me. It's not the end of the story, because 3 days later, God raised him back to life. He is risen from the dead. And the Bible says if you believe that and you confess Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. But today, you have to receive that by faith. You have to make a decision of heart, of your heart, to say, yes, I'm choosing today to turn from sin and to follow Christ. I call this the ABC of salvation. A, agree with God that Jesus is his Son, that you've sinned and you need a Savior. B, believe that he died for your sins and rose again. And C, confess he is Lord. And that confession of Lordship is also a repentance is involved with that, which involves a turning, a change of mind and heart to turn to follow Christ as your Lord and Savior. Today is your day. Now is the moment. So we're all going to pray together. If you have never prayed to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, pray this prayer and believe it. Mean it. Jesus will save you today. If you've been away from God and you don't follow him like you used to, come back to him with this prayer. And everybody else, let's pray the prayer to support those who need to for a first time or recommit to Christ. Can we please bow our head and close our eyes in the presence of God? Let's say this together. Let's say this out loud. I'll say it line by line. Just repeat the words with me. But remember, you're talking to the Lord, so mean it from your heart. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you that you love me, that you died for my sins and rose from the dead to give me a new life. I believe it, and I thank you for saving me. I turn from my sins and invite you now to come into my heart. Save me for eternity. I receive you as my Savior, and I confess that Jesus is Lord. I'm going to love you and serve you as long as I live. Thank you for a new life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want to say this. Jesus said, if you confess me before people, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you don't confess me before people, neither will I confess you before the Father. Everyone he called them publicly. He's calling you publicly right now. So I'm going to ask you right now, if you prayed that for a first time, or you prayed it to recommit your life to Jesus, I'm going to count down to three. When I get to the number three, it's your signal to raise your hand and say, yes, that's me. I've made the decision to follow Jesus. Are you ready? Here we go. One, two, three. Just raise your hand if that's you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. Wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Now listen, for the sake of time today, I'm not going to invite you forward. But what I am going to do is I'm going to say this to you. Well done for raising your hand. I've seen your hand. But the word to confess means to say. So before you leave today, I want you to tell someone, whether you're a child, whether you're an adult, you need to tell someone today that you prayed to give your life to Jesus or to give your life back to Him. If you're serious about Jesus and you prayed that prayer and you meant it, I want you to signify to me that you're making a commitment to me and before God today that you meant that prayer and you're going to tell someone before the day is out that you've become a Christian or that you've recommitted your life to Jesus. I want you to indicate that right now by raising your hand again. Just do it right now. Okay. Bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. Okay, many hands. Well done. God bless you. Tell someone today. You're going to find something's going to happen inside you by the Holy Spirit as you do it. Bless you. Guys, we were supposed to finish at 1, and I've gone well ahead of my brief. But can I just ask you, if you're not well, to put a hand on your body for a moment, and I'm going to pray for you. We see thousands of people every year touched by the power of God this way. Many, many healed. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here. Lord, you know the conditions that they are dealing with at this moment. Father, we take authority in the name of Jesus Christ over all infirmity, over the attack of any spirit of infirmity. We rebuke you in the name of Jesus and command you to leave. I pray complete healing now over these bodies now. Healing into every part that needs it. Soul and body, be healed in Jesus' mighty name. Father God, I just pray that over these coming days and over this week, that my brothers and sisters would know a new boldness in sharing the gospel. Father God, as they write down names of people that they know, neighbors, workmates, friends and family who don't yet know Jesus, I pray, Father, as they pray for them, Lord, you would give them wisdom, the wisdom of a soul winner, that you would pour out your spirit with boldness on them, give them divine appointments. And Lord, as they pray for them, that they would see miracles, that they would have the joy of leading people to Jesus as they ask them, is there any reason why you couldn't give your life to Jesus right now? Lord, give them the boldness. Give them the words to say. Give them the divine appointments. And thank you for the increase that's coming from you to this wonderful fellowship of believers. We bless this church in the name of Jesus Christ and call forth the favor and the increase of God upon it in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said amen. 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 Let's give him praise. Bless you.